This message comes from Capital One. Your business faces unique challenges and opportunities. That's why Capital One offers a comprehensive suite of financial services backed by the strength of a top 10 commercial bank. Visit CapitalOne.com/commercial. Member FDIC.
You're listening to Shortwave from NPR.
Hi, Shortwavers. I'm Sydney Lupkin, NPR Pharmaceuticals correspondent. I'm in for Emily and Regina today, and because it's summer, I'm bringing you something way off my usual beat.
We got two cases, so about 160 pounds of pork butts that we're getting ready to throw in the smoker.
That's right. Smoking. Meat, that is. Smoking means cooking at low temperatures for a long time. And it turns out smoking isn't just an art. It's a science. George Loving got into smoking meat while tailgating at his son's football games.
We went to college. I said, you know, I'm going to get one of those big smokers made and pull it behind my truck and just tailgate in the parking lot. And somebody said, George, why don't you, you know, do it as a business?
And that's how Smoked At Barbecue Catering was born in Washington, D.C. George says brisket, the lower chest of the cow, is one of his favorite cuts.
It's the epitome of smoking because it takes the longest. You put it in the smoker and you just let it cook. You always want to stay around that 225 to 250.
So a good barbecue is juicy. It practically melts in your mouth and it has that smoky flavor with a bit of char. And it's not something I've ever pulled off myself because achieving that magic requires, for one, equipment I don't have in my apartment, but it also takes a long time cooking at low temperatures.
I've seen some briskets cook in 8 to 10 hours. I've seen some take 14, 16 hours. It's something you just don't rush. And when it's done, it's done.
Today on the show, a meat metamorphosis. The chemistry behind transforming a tough cut of meat into juicy deliciousness. I'm Sydney Lupkin, and you're listening to Shortwave from NPR.
This message comes from NPR sponsor HubSpot. More to-dos, less time, and an infinite number of tools to keep track of. Doing business has never felt harder. But you don't need a miracle to hit your goals. You just need HubSpot, because their all-in-one customer platform can make growing your business infinitely easier. Imagine this: higher quality leads, fast closing deals, wildly happy customers, and more benchmark-breaking quarters. It's not a miracle. It's HubSpot. Visit HubSpot.com to get started today. Support for NPR and the following message come from the American Cancer Society. Dr. Alpa Patel leads a team that researches cancer risk factors, and she shares how a new study aims to impact an underrepresented community.
My greatest hope for the Voices of Black Women study is that it will help us understand and identify culturally tailored ways to change and really eliminate the unacceptable disparities for future generations of Black women as it relates to cancer.
To learn more, go to voices.cancer.org.
Okay, so you've gone to the supermarket, you've picked out your favorite cut of meat, let's stick with brisket, and you're ready to get smoking. The first thing to remember is that cooking is really a bunch of chemical reactions. That is, taking substances and changing them by combining them with other substances, applying heat. Cake batter turns into firm, fluffy cake. Raw egg becomes opaque. And raw meat can be turned into really tasty barbecue. So let's get into it. Meat is a muscle. And in muscle, there are lots of proteins.
And we learned in high school biology that the proteins in our muscles are actin and myosin, right? That's what helps us to flex and move around. And so every cut of meat has actin and myosin in it, no matter what.
That's Matt Hardings. He's a chemist at American University, and he wrote a book called Chemistry in Your Kitchen. He says the tougher cuts of meat also have another protein called collagen.
The purpose of collagen in our muscles is to make them resistant to strain. All these cuts of meat that have lots of collagen, they are coming from proteins and animals that are constantly moving, right? So the legs of a cow, chicken legs, chicken thighs have more collagen than chicken breast. And so the way we cook those cuts of meat reflects the amount of collagen that they have in them.
Collagen is basically shaped like a coil or a spring. Cooking on low heat over a long time gently uncoils it.
The magic of low and slow is that when you cook collagen the right way, it breaks up into gelatin, and gelatin makes jello, right? and you go from something really firm and chewy and not appetizing at all to fall apart tender.
This is the chemistry lesson at the heart of making really good smoked meat. Break down the collagen by cooking the meat for a long time at low temperature. Like Matt said, it's what smoking experts call low and slow.
What you're trying to do with the low and slow is really take a very tough cut of meat and making it melt in your mouth. You're really going to be cooking that piece of meat over 12 hours. Keeping your fire going for that amount of time for a brisket takes a real steady hand and a lot of patience.
Low and slow isn't just about breaking down collagen proteins. It also helps keep the meat from drying out.
So moisture control is another place where you need to be very patient and have a nice steady hand. If the temperature gets too high, you are going to dehydrate your meat a little bit, right? All of that water is going to come out and all the muscle fibers are going to pack tighter and tighter and tighter with one another.
On the other hand, you also don't want your cooking chamber to be too moist either, or something called bark doesn't form. And no, it's not tree bark, but it bears some resemblance to it. Bark is the tasty crust that forms on the outside or surface of the meat, a kind of browning, and it needs just the right amount of moisture to form.
So the bark is a product of the Maillard reaction. And the Maillard reaction is likely my favorite chemical reaction. And what that is a reaction between a sugar and a protein. Lots of our foods have sugars and proteins in them. And so anytime you see any sort of browning while you cook something, that is the Maillard reaction. But Maillard reaction makes all these crunchy, savory, flavor-enhanced things. So when we get that Maillard reaction, that crispy, crunchy savoriness, it just makes our food taste so much better.
Now, what about the actual smoke in smoking meat? If you're cooking with wood, you want to make sure the smoke is barely visible. White, billowy smoke is no good because it gives the meat a harsh, smoky taste. So it all comes back again to cooking low and slow.
If your temperature is too high, you're taking that wood and just you're burning the bejesus out of it, right? And so everything is turning into soot and carbon dioxide and water. But if you do it at a low temperature, those big, enormous molecules in trees, right, that hold the trees together, lignin and cellulose, and especially the lignin, that lignin breaks down slowly. You get chunks, like little parts of that molecule fly off.
And those molecular parts give the meat different flavors.
As long as you burn your wood slowly and at a low temperature. Again, if you torch it, if you've got huge flames leaping off of it, all those molecules that you're trying to make from your lignin will break down.
They turn into that delicious spice, smoke, and even vanilla.
And those little parts of those molecules are things like guaiacol, which is spicy and smoky, or vanillin, right, which tastes like vanilla.
Speaking of flavor, different woods impart different flavors depending on the amount of lignin in the wood and how it's cooked.
Woods that have lots of lignin will have a very hearty smell to it. So something like mesquite. Mesquite has a really strong aroma to it, and that's because of the amount of lignin in it has. Some other woods that aren't as lignin heavy are not going to be quite so bold.
There's also a thing called a smoke ring, which is the pink coloring that you get on the outside of the meat when it's smoked, under the bark. It starts with a protein in muscles known as myoglobin that carries or stores oxygen until we need to move. Then it burns the oxygen and some sugars.
Myoglobin is also what makes our meat, our muscles, red, right? It's what gives it its red color. Normally, when you cook myoglobin, what happens is, we talked about the unraveling of these proteins, that myoglobin unravels, changes its shape, and it turns from red to brown.
We're used to seeing that when we cook meat, whether it's smoked or not, but in the chemical reactions in smoking, the smoker creates nitrous oxide too.
Nitrous oxide binds where the oxygen would normally go. There's an iron atom in the middle of your myoglobin. And so the nitrous oxide goes onto that iron atom, and it doesn't change color when the protein unravels. It stays this beautiful pink color. And so when you smoke your meat and do it right, you get this sort of nitrous oxide infused meat, and that's what gives it that pretty pink color.
Fun fact, nitrous oxide is also laughing gas, like at the dentist.
If we were to huff a bunch of nitrous oxide right now, right, or whatever, right, our cheeks would flush pink because the nitrous oxide, and the same happens with carbon monoxide too, right? Your cheeks flush pink because all of that, the myoglobin or even the hemoglobin, right, that carries oxygen in our blood is going to take those gases on instead of oxygen, and it turns a bright pink. That's the one way that people who are asphyxiated with CO or something like that, a coroner will say, well, this person has a high, like a really bright pink blood or bright pink muscle. We can tell that they've been poisoned with carbon monoxide.
Okay, so I know that took a turn. Back to barbecue. The pink smoke ring on the meat actually doesn't have anything to do with the flavor, but it's still important.
It indicates that we have cooked our meat when we're doing low and slow at an appropriate temperature and an appropriate pace. We haven't heated it up too quick. We haven't gone too slow with our cooking. There's sort of a temperature range at which you're going to make the smoke ring and do it nicely, right? Make a very nice smoke ring around the outside of your meat. And so if you've done that, right, it's just an indication that you have cooked your meat properly.
So how do you know when the meat is done?
That is an excellent question. And this is another big difference between cooking food fast and doing the low and slow. When I'm cooking a steak, the best way to know it's done is to use a meat thermometer and see, well, is it the temperature I want it to be, right? So medium rare is 125, medium is just over 130, right?
It's a little bit different with low and slow cooking.
I'm always testing texture. What does it feel like? And that's the best way to do it. It's hard with ribs. It's hard to do because you can't like sort of jab at the ribs too much. Something like pulled pork, it's super easy, right? You kind of take your pork and take your fork and will it shred that pork right away? If it starts to shred, you're golden.
And it falls apart because of all those protein changes that happen in just the right way, thanks to cooking low and slow and picking the right wood. So when you're smoking meat, you're seeing science in action.
One of the things that I love about smoking, there's a couple kinds of cooking that just fascinate me from the standpoint of an academic chemist. People, when they step into a kitchen, whether it's making bread, whether it is cooking pancakes, whether it is brewing beer, whether it's making barbecue, you are doing such incredible chemistry. Whenever you're doing that, you are a chemist.
A big thanks to pitmaster George Loving and chemist Matt Hardings for their expertise on low and slow cooking. And to Shortwave's very own meat smoker, Giselle Grayson, for this reporting. This episode was produced by Britt Hansen, Burley McCoy, and Willa Rubin. It was edited by Sadie Babbitts and managing producer Rebecca Ramirez. Giselle and Ida Parased check the facts. The audio engineer was Robert Rodriguez. Beth Donovan is our senior director of programming, and Anya Grundman is our senior vice president of programming. I'm Sydney Lupkin. Thanks for listening to Shortwave from NPR.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, REI Co-op. REI has gear, clothing, classes, and advice for camping and glamping, biking and hiking, axing and snacksing. Visit your local REI Co-op or REI.com for the million and one ways to opt outside.
Support for NPR and the following message come from IXL Online. Is your child asking questions on their homework you don't feel equipped to answer? IXL Learning uses advanced algorithms to give the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. One subscription gets you everything. One site for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And NPR listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/NPR.
When voters talk during an election season, we listen. We ask questions, we follow up, and we bring you along to hear what we learned. Get closer to the issues, the people, and your vote at the NPR Elections Hub. Visit npr.org/elections.